After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, the podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Moe podcast, recording this on a Thursday night. There's a lot to go over on the podcast. We have to talk about the latest with Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about what just went down. The Mavs advanced to the NBA Finals. They'll be taking on the Boston Celtics. And I just realized something as I was saying this, Morgan.
What?
We just witnessed our last Inside the NBA on TNT for this season, and next year could be its last.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility, and we shall wait and see.
But you're being way too optimistic.
Because I don't want to be, I don't want to think about it like that. Like, because then I'm going to just like grieve it for how long? For like a year? Like, I don't want to do that. I just like, when I get there, we'll get there. No.
So Morgan, it's time for our weekly edition of What's going on with Mike Brown's contract extension talks? Is anything actually happening? Or is it just a bunch of smoke?
That's a long title.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
So last Friday, it was a game was about to start. Mavs taking on the Wolves. Oh, all excited.
Such a vibe.
And then we saw... Woj bomb!
Yeah.
And the Woj bomb was that the Kings and Mike Brown have tabled contract talks.
Tabled.
There's a large gulf
between
the two sides.
Gulf.
We're tabling this damn thing right now.
That's how it was said.
So we, of course, talked about that. We were in our feelings about going, can you just figure this out? Well, we've learned some new details today. Of course, right before Game 5 of the Conference Finals, Shams reports the Kings made a competitive offer to head coach Mike Brown on the contract extension. 3 years and $21 million through the 26-27 season, up to $27 million with bonuses, sources say. So far, no agreement. Brown is believed to be seeking around $10 million per season. Then Sean Cunningham, who covers Sacramento locally for Fox 40, tweeted out this, some additional context surrounding the Kings' proposed offer to Mike Brown. According to sources, Sacramento's recent offer is believed to be comparable to Jason Kidd's extension with the Mavs.
Okay.
I don't know what the extension was with the Mavs.
Thank you.
I tried to search that while, so who knows? Here's what we do know. I don't think this is necessarily new information from Shams. Like, it came out today.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I could be wrong. If they tabled talks last week and there was a large gulf...
Gulf.
Maybe Shams did some digging and found out what that gulf was, which is
numbers,
a significant one.
Sure.
If they came back to the table and this is new information, that's even more problematic because it's like, well, they didn't really, the gulf's still rather large.
It's there.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Mike Brown's deal, for those who have not heard, is interesting. He signed a 4-year deal with the Kings. But the final year was a mutual option between the two sides, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. We've joked about that. It's like, well, what if Mike Brown said, I want to be here. And the King said,
no.
Then what?
What flip? Oh, yeah. Will you Rochambeau or flip a coin?
Either way, it sounds like they want to rip up the final year of the deal. So effectively, that would mean Mike Brown would be going into next season, this upcoming season, in the final year of his deal.
Right.
Kings have had a lot of success. 48 wins, 46 wins, one playoff appearance. So Mike Brown's like, I want to get paid because I'm seeing what other coaches are making. I'm seeing what Pop got paid. Monty Williams, Mike Budenholzer, Ty Lue.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr. The list goes on. Everyone's getting paid because Monty Williams got the bag from Detroit last offseason. So he wants to get paid, wants $10 million a year. So looking at this, though, according to Woj, it's 3 years through 26-27. Well, this upcoming year is 24-25, then 25-26, then 26-27. The way I'm looking at this right now is, in a way, they're only tacking on one additional year to the original contract in that regard. They'd be giving him a boost a bit.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. The reason I'm a little concerned right now is if he wants 10 a year, and they're offering like seven over the shelf life of that contract. That's a difference of $9 million. That's not nothing.
Okay. Oh, so much math.
Did that confuse you?
All right, let me come back to me.
Let's just say Mike Brown, the Kings, agreed to a 3-year, $30 million extension. Mike Brown got what he wanted. That'd be $10 million a year.
No shit.
Okay. The Kings, according to Shams, 3-year, 21. That's $7 million.
Yes.
So $7 million a year versus $10 million a year.
Yeah.
That's a $3 million difference times three is $9 million.
If anyone else needed that math, you're welcome. No, that, I mean, obviously that's a big chunk when you look at it like that, right? But at the same time, I mean, is that what people do though? Like, is that how, especially since it's so new for NBA coaches to be getting paid like this, like, is that how you're looking at it? Or are you just looking at it more like, I'm still just trying to get closer to the 10?
Market value. I want what's market value? I see.
Well, coaches, Nick Nurse got like seven a year.
I get, what's that?
Didn't he get like seven?
Who?
Nick Nurse.
Oh, Nick Nurse was eight. I think you said Kerr at first. No. Nick Nurse
was eight.
It was eight last offseason.
Okay. Okay.
But,
so like under 10. And I guess my thing is, I'm like, pay the man, right? Like, just get it done.
It doesn't count against your cap.
It doesn't count against your cap. All the things. I also understand there could be bonuses involved, which could
get him to 27, but you have to think to get to that 27 million total.
Yeah.
It'd probably have to be like winning a championship.
Right. So
that's hard to do.
Okay. Okay. Like, sure. So not win a championship, but like, let's just say it's a certain amount of wins. It's a certain amount of things. But like, what sucks about that too, is because you are also signing a contract saying like, yeah, getting a certain amount of wins, but what if you're only given shit to work with, right? And there's like, so then that can screw with your millions of dollars.
Morgan, and here's what it comes down to.
What?
Mike Budenholzer is getting $10 million guaranteed. $10 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
They're suggesting, according to this, maybe you get to $9 million guaranteed if you meet certain points.
Right.
I think the other thing, too, is I don't think it's enough years.
That would be my biggest concern.
Deuce Mason, the agent, would be like, if I'm on Mike Brown's side, I'm going, and I said this to you like a week and a half ago before we knew any of this golf or anything, when Jake Fisher had his original report that Mike Brown wanted double figures or whatever, or eight figures, double figures.
Numbers.
Give him a 4-year deal, okay? A 4-year deal.
Okay.
And give him like a base salary of like 8 to 9 a year. Well, that will get you to...
Here's my
thing. Over 10, 11 if you meet certain deals. They just have to give more years and more money.
If this is being negotiated like that, like, do you think Mike Brown would want more years of security rather than more money on each year? You know what I mean? Like, what if they end up being like, okay, we're going to go with this, like, you know, around the seven mil a year, but we added on another year.
Well, here's the other thing.
I love that we're just like shooting the shit about this, because it's like,
well, a couple of things. One, this is a negotiation. I've seen some fans, some people have asked me about this too, is like, well, this is public. I hate this public negotiation.
Leverage.
Yeah, but I agree.
Yeah.
But last week, Shams had a report that Ty Lue and the Clippers were not close to a deal. They weren't close to a deal. Right. The next week, they got a deal done.
Right.
So, like, this, I'm not a fan of it, like, all this. I'd rather in-house, but this is just sports, and everything gets out. Someone talks, and there's reason for it. There's all this maneuvering.
I'm not, by the way, I'm not worried either. That's how I feel personally. Like, yeah, I'm just, I'm not worried. Like, I know they'll get it done, but I'm with you. It's like, it's leverage. It's how they, it's how, hey, it's how you negotiate things in the NBA, huh? Probably not how you do it at your normal job. We're all not making millions upon millions of dollars each year either. Most of us are not. So it's like, it's a different tactic. It's a different style of negotiating. But I think what's triggering when it comes to Kings fans is that we have seen it out there for so long where it's like they're the laughing stock of the NBA.
Right.
And that's when it becomes, because no one was talking about the Ty Lue shit. I mean, when I say no one was talking, obviously.
Well, it was a big topic last year throughout the season.
Throughout the season. And then obviously when Shams came out with it, it was like, oh, okay, they'll get things done. And I just feel the same about this situation for the Sacramento Kings.
I guess the other thing too, Morgan, is like, if you're Sacramento, what's the alternative?
I love that question. Yes.
Let's just say you go, all right, we can't get a contract extension done like right now. Yeah. Let's play it out the rest of the year. Okay. Let's say the Kings win. Let's go crazy here. Oh. Unlikely. Let's get a little crazy.
Okay.
Kings make some moves over the offseason. Somehow they win 55 games and they get to the second round of the playoffs. Something crazy like that. It's just going to cost you more money. It's just going to cost you more money anyway.
Like eventually is what you're saying.
You're going to, guess what? Then all of a sudden, yesterday's price is not today's price.
Ugh,
you're paying him a lot more than that. Number two, just having that distraction going into a season, like let's rewind, if you don't get an extension done, having that distraction going into the season, I'm just not a fan of. Because then everyone, if Mike Brown and the Kings go off to like kind of a slow start, there's going to be noise. Like, are they going to fire him now? And if you have to fire a coach midseason, I mean, I can't even talk about it because I don't want to, like, then it's like, all right, back to Kings.
And here's, that's what and here's the difference too. For me, you go like, what's a better option or what's the
alternative?
What's the alternative? And I go go to that scenario. And I look at what type of coach, what type of human Mike Brown is alone. And if you believe in that, then you should probably commit to that. Sign some papers, sign some money over, commit to that. Because how much shit did you have to go through just to get to that? And that was way worse than getting to this. So if you want to stick with something kind of good, and I don't give a shit if some people out there is like, it's mediocre, 46 wins, oh, not happy all of a sudden, blah.
He's a good coach. It's
like,
I like
it. No, exactly. It's a basketball-minded coach. It's someone that, again, how many times that we have to say, brought a culture to Sacramento. It's a coach that a lot of players like. And when a lot of your players respect him and want to be coached by him, the grass is not always greener. I just make life a little easier, huh?
And there hasn't been a lot of green grass in Sacramento over the
That's
years
my
in Sacramento.
Point. It's been dry and yellow and like
it's been
dead.
Droughts.
Droughts. Very bad droughts.
There was no grass.
No.
At one point.
Now we're getting some rain. A little bit of a little rainbow popping up. But then, you know, it's...
Last year we had a couple of like dog pee spots. But
but you patched them up.
We figured it out.
You trade them out for something else.
Here's a question for you too about this, Morgan.
What?
It's like, you know... I've said this. I mean, it's May 30th as we record this. I don't trip too much about it because it's May 30th.
That's
good. I would say, hey, if this was October, I'd be a little concerned about it going into the season for sure. But is there some pressure on them to get this done maybe before they get in the talks with Malik Monk or other free agents or you know what I mean?
Just Deuce, because from a state You know that answer. Yes, obviously, when it comes to Malik Monk, you think Malik Monk wants to sign a contract being like, I don't even know who the shit my coach is. No, he does not. No, of course that like is huge.
So you're saying, I mean, it has to get done probably the next couple of weeks.
No. It will get done. It will get done soon. Every time there's like a little update, I forget our little term that we said at the beginning of this because it was a very long term. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, Mike Brown's contract extension update. I forget what I said.
Whatever. Damn it. With more smoke. My point is, when there's a little bit more smoke, that means something is brewing, right? Like, even when someone's saying, talks have been tabled, there's a gulf, whatever. It's like, great. At least, hey, I'm hearing about it because shit's actually happening. The people are using each other's leverage. We know how this business works. Yes.
Just get it done.
Just get it done.
Close the gap.
Yep.
It just
sign the leak. Let's go.
And then
run it back.
Did you just say it like that?
No, I know.
You don't mean like run it.
Run it back with those two specifically
or the whole team.
Run it back with those two.
Okay. Because they did.
Make your fucking tweaks.
That's a triggering word for so many.
I just said it loud and clear for everyone else.
Yeah. It is interesting how like Woj comes out with that Friday. Then this is Shams now. Sean had the thing about Jason Kidd's hour. Here's just pay the guy some market rate, man. Like, also, California's kind of expensive anyway, man.
I feel so bad for all these millionaires.
Can I also say this, too?
What?
And I know you have to do what's best. Like, but at the same time, it's like for your fans, these Kings fans, we have seen a lot over the years, a lot of tough times that we don't have to like talk about right now. We know.
Don't.
But we just don't want to think about it. Like, if I would have told you after last season that we'd be like, dude, this time next year, we're going to be stressed about Mike Brown's contract extension. You'd be like, what? The guy just won Coach of the Year.
I'm not even
like,
stressing.
Let's be common sense. Give the fans a little to feel good about. They get a deal.
How about just tell everyone don't stress? Okay. Don't stress. It's gonna happen. Like, that's the thing. You just saw it happen with Ty Lue after Shams just tweeted out negative stuff.
Well, we'll see how it plays out.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's get to Game 5 Western Conference Finals. The Mavs are headed to the NBA Finals, and what an absolute beatdown we just witnessed in Minnesota. The Mavs up by as many as 36 points. They hammer Minnesota today, 124-103.
The T-Wolves could not handle the physicality from the start. I mean, the tone was set from the start. I think there was a few times in this one I was like, oh, it's a 21-point game now. Oh. And there's just no magic, nothing that was lively coming from the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Pun intended. Luka came out and was like, this is a big game. I'm going to the NBA Finals. Yeah. And I felt like he sucked the life out of them in that first quarter. The way they finished that quarter. And Luka was hitting everything. Like, the fact that Lively's coming up and setting a screen for him at the logo, and Gobert is not even coming close to it. Luka's going to launch that three. He's knocking it down. He's already on fire. This guy finishes with 20 points. He hit contested threes. He hit mid-range shots.
Attacked.
He was great.
He did it all. And I mean, when you're making your outside shots and you're that guy, especially coming off of that last game and going, hey, Your stars have to be stars. I mean, he was an effing star tonight. And it was starting the game off as a star that I think made it even more impactful, you know, where you didn't have to go down by 15 and then find your way back into this one or find a way to win it at the end of the game. It was, we're going to the NBA Finals and we're going to start that journey right now. And Deuce, you talk about even the way that he was knocking down some of those threes, specifically that high one where Kyle Anderson was trying to fight around the screen and Rudy Gobert was in drop so far away. Like, that's a far, that is, that range, I'm not even used, like, I feel like this series, it's not like Luka's been shooting the shit out of the ball out there, but in this one, he was feeling a different type of fire.
He ends up with 36 points in the clincher, along with 10 rebounds, 5 assists, a couple of steals. He was 6 of 10 from 3. Kyrie and him combined for 10 of 20 from downtown because Kyrie also had 36 points. Both those guys were absolute stars. And that's what I was talking about after game 4. You know, so much talk about, man, Minnesota, what a response. Could they make this interesting? My perspective was pretty simple. Kyrie did not shoot the ball well. Luka didn't shoot the ball well, and Lively was out, and they lost by 5 points. You get Lively back in the fold tonight. That made a big difference. But it's like, it's up to your guys. And the fact of the matter is Luka and Kyrie are disgustingly talented offensive players, and everyone wants to come up with different ideas about how do you slow them down? Oh, do this, do that. I go, good luck, because I've seen teams make life more difficult.
Yeah.
And these players are so gifted and so smart. Their scoring ability and tough shot making, it's hard to really do anything to prevent it.
Yeah. I think in that alone can become deflating, but then you just go, like, not even from that mental standpoint of being deflated, go to a strategical standpoint of what you're supposed to do next, what type of defense you throw at them. And when they're on fire like that, there's nothing to stop them except not allowing them to have the basketball. And that's going to be so difficult to do. I mean, McDaniels ended with 5 fouls in this one. I know Rudy Gobert was fouling a lot in the beginning of the game. He ended up finishing with what? Oh, he only finished with 1 foul. So I'm sorry. It was Ant was also being really aggressive, obviously along the perimeter and everything as well. But I'm like, what do you do? You deny these humans the basketball the entire game? Like, that's close to impossible to do, especially in a series, right?
Yeah, and the other guy, you're thinking, McDaniels had 5 fouls.
I said that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they blitz these guys.
Yeah.
And if you're blitzing Luka with Kyrie on the floor, that's cute. He's going to make you pay, and they took advantage of it. I mean, they found the guy in the short roll. There were a couple times early that, you know, oh, they throw at him and Luka maybe threw a high pass to Lively. But they cleaned it up. And then they made the right play every single time. The ball was flowing.
Moving
like vibing. Crazy. 15 of 30 from downtown helps things too. That goes a long way in helping you tonight. And then what they did defensively, where I felt like early on, you know, they're blitzing Ant, but everyone's like recovering. And even if Ant got a step on somebody, the help defense was there. The recovery was there. This team looked locked in from the start of this game. Like, we are here to win. Where Minnesota was like, hey, are you okay?
You talk about the defense for the Mavs and how everyone was recovering, moving on a string, all the things. The anchor, my defensive player of the game. I'm not even going to say of the series. The defensive player of the game. I mean, of the last couple of games. That second line of defense, Daniel Gafford making such an impact down there. His presence being felt in so many more ways than one. Not just as a rim protector, but like his ability to make teams think twice about coming into him. Where when you think about Gobert and you think about some of these other big players in the league, you go, okay, how do we attack that? What do we do? And I feel like Gafford really showed up in a different way this season, especially after the trade, really showing up and showing what he can do if he has other good pieces around him.
Well, and getting Lively back was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, Lively tonight filled up the stat sheet. And then, of course, you had the thing with Naz Reid, where Nas Reed connects with him, and he looked like he Lively looked like he was in tremendous pain.
I thought Deuce was going to jump through the TV for a second and like go after Nas Reed. Like, I understand why you were so mad, because Lively, obviously what happened a few games ago, and then you saw him go down, like his neck just kind of flailed. It was really weird. And you were so mad at Nas Reed. It was reckless, but it was not intentional. It was reckless. And that is why the Mavs bench wanted a flagrant two. The Wolves bench didn't want any flagrants. And so they settled on a flagrant one.
Lively and Gafford tonight combined for 20 points, 17 rebounds, 4 blocks, 3 assists on 6 of 6 shooting, and they were 8 of 12 at the free throw line. What those guys have meant to the Dallas Mavericks, they've been so vital to everything they do as a vertical lob threat too, especially offensively. You think about Kyrie and Luka's ability to get inside the paint, and they're such great threats to finish at the rim. They've got so many different ways to finish with a floater, attacking left, right, and then the ability to have the vision to find open guys. Oh, you add in 2 legit lob threats? The defenses don't know what to do. I mean, how many times do you see Luka leave his feet for a floater, and at the last second after he sees the defense commit, he'll throw up a little higher and get it to someone like Gafford to finish the lob. Hell, Luka driving baseline tonight, Morgan, and they're playing him up tight, and there was a miscommunication between Anderson and Gobert. They saw Luka looking like he was going to get ready to go up. They retreat to the lob man. And so what does Luka do? Just take the mid-range shot. And if that's not there, he's going to pass it and make the right decision. When you have 2 guys like Kyrie and Luka that can make all the right decisions, coupled with shooting on the perimeter and legit lob threats, you're a tough team to stop.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think, too, when you look at the bigs and you want to compare them to even what the Mavs are able to do with their bigs on the offensive end compared to, let's just say, Rudy Gobert. Not throwing Cat in there. I mean, he's obviously just an incredible dynamic big. But with Rudy Gobert, you just see so many different flaws, especially when he's given the ball somewhere he's uncomfortable. He's not going to make the right play. Where I feel like sometimes when Gafford or Lively would get the ball at the high post because a double would come on Luka and that's where they would end up getting it, they wouldn't try to scramble, travel, and make some play going down into the paint, make some move. They would take a second, stay poised, and make the right play. Pass it out, spray 3, if people collapse them, whatever. And then you saw on the other end with someone like Rudy Gobert, where it felt like at times where he's just moving his body weird when he gets the ball and trying for some layups. In the beginning, he was being super aggressive. And I think that's another reason why when you do look at Minnesota in the beginning of the game, wasn't just Luka going off. It was also a little bit of that. It was like, wow, Rudy Gobert sure being aggressive on the offensive end and getting a lot. So the bigs just are different in that way too.
Those guys are a star in their role, right? Gobert tries to do a little too much offensively. Like, I feel like he tries to prove a point sometimes.
Well, but what are you supposed to do when you get the ball that like you want a big to be able to make a move and go, but I feel like there's so much discomfort there.
How many years has he played in the NBA?
Right.
He's not doing it. It's not starting. So like him being a threat, if he's not good at it, it's like he's a lob threat and a guy who tries to clean it up, if anything.
Right.
That's it. And if that's not there, I don't need to see Rudy Gobert putting the ball on the floor. Okay.
Sure.
I don't need you to be doing too much. You have to know what you're good at. Gobert tonight, think of all the money he makes. He had 9 points and 5 rebounds. Lively Gafford outplays Rudy Gobert. So that was a pretty significant thing for the Dallas Mavericks. And to think about where they were at this time last year, well, they weren't in the playoffs, one, but they were playing like Dwight Powell. They had Christian Wood. They had JaVale McGee on the team.
Yeah.
And what a makeover, what a shift for them. Even at the start of this year, they had Rashawn Holmes. And then another big like Grant Williams, obviously not the center spot. Dallas deserves so much credit for the pivot they made this year.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about this before, but
multiple times.
You go back to late March, those 2 games in Sacramento. And after those games, we did our podcast and we were like, man, this Mavs team looks like they can make a run here.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be to the NBA Finals. And to think that they beat the Clippers in the first round, they beat the number 1 seed OKC Thunder, and then to do what they did against Minnesota?
Yeah, they crushed them. I mean, they crushed, especially tonight on a game where you can like send them home and it's on their home floor. And I think not only did they crush them and do their job, but you feel a little disappointed in Minnesota and their ability to bring it tonight. And again, Cat, 28 points. He had a good game. Ant had 28 points. And with his game, it was just a little different because I felt like the doubles that were being thrown at him, they were hounding him. And we've seen throughout the regular season and even throughout some of the postseason, like he's been able to break through, find a way to dominate through it. But it just felt like it was becoming too much. And I think he'll learn so much from this experience.
He definitely will. But it's also, I think, Minnesota's offensive flaws were highlighted at times. And I think one of the things you notice is like, okay, who else is going to create out there? Like Cat, when he's on, he could hit from three and attack the basket. Okay, but who else can create? Gobert can't create. McDaniels, you know, he's taken steps to become a better offensive player, but he's so inconsistent. One night he's giving you 24, the next he's not scoring, or he's giving you 5 points or 8 points, or he's picking up foul troubles. You know, for them to take a step, they need like another guy that can go get them a bucket. Mike Conley can hit some corner threes and, you know, every once in a while he'll come out and give you 18, but he's also 36 years old. And you go to the bench tonight, I'm going, I understand why you're playing Kyle Anderson for defense and stuff, but he's not spacing the floor. Gobert is not spacing the floor. All of a sudden we saw Jordan McLaughlin tonight. He's not spacing the floor. You're like, who's creating the offense? It all kind of falls on Ant in that situation. Yeah. As you mentioned, he's getting blitzed. He's being asked at times to go out there and defend Kyrie. That's what makes it tough. You know, Minnesota had a hell of a year.
And a hell of a roster, a hell of a team, like a lot of different things that they had that you see why they were as successful as they were. But yeah, when you do look at what you can tweak on the offensive end with the roster, I mean, there's definitely steps you can take.
Their defense was awesome during the regular season.
Absolutely.
Awesome at times during this playoff run. Mm-hmm. Who could forget that game two against Denver? We're like, what the hell did we just witness? But against those two guys in Dallas?
It's different.
We're seeing something that's like beyond special right now. What Luka's accomplishing, like,
it's clicking.
We all know no one's denied Luka's talent over the years. It's all like, hey, when's he going to end up making that big run? He is making it now. And now he's in the NBA Finals and he's playing tremendous basketball.
That's the thing. It's not just because he is making it to the next step within the playoffs and now the NBA Finals. It's how he's doing it. It's how he's playing as a star. It's not, and even Kyrie said it after the game. He was like, you know, it's not just me and Luka. It's like the rest of the, and it's true though, because how many times have we talked about this team creating these team wins? Your stars being stars.
Morgan, you know? You pointed it out early in this game to me. What? You're like, Dante Exum and Josh Green out there just doing the little things.
They're tipping balls out.
They're contesting well. Mm-hmm. It's like those things don't always show up on the box score, but getting
definitely don't
just good moments there. You know what Derek Jones has done during the playoffs, PJ Washington. Gosh. It's not just them either, but those two guys get so much thrown their way and they're able to respond.
Yeah. And I think that's it too. Like the way that they've been able to rely on others to really play their roles. Like no one's ever doing too much. I would say the only person that does, you know, a lot when he comes in is like Jaden Hardy when he comes off the bench. But even that, I appreciate his confidence and his ability to be that way, to have that type of mentality when sometimes he's like, no, F this, I'm going to create, I'm going to do something else. But overall, yeah, you look at both these rosters and then you look at what the Mavs have been able to accomplish and with some of these names and just some of these names playing some of their best basketball around one another. I mean, a lot of the league is just situational for players. When you plug in the right players around the right people and all the different things, it's like it can work. And even Kyrie, no drama this year. That alone. Luka, like his game is taking a leap even with his maturity. It's the same thing that we talked about with Ant and Kat throughout this entire season for them. But yeah, Luka's on a different level now.
It's fun to watch, man. It's really fun to see that. And dude, we said it before the series. Minnesota was playing the best basketball of any team headed into the series.
Oh, yeah.
And Dallas showed up in a major way. Big time impressive stuff as the Mavs are now headed to the NBA Finals to take on the Boston Celtics. We get this comment a lot from people, and it's like, how do you guys deal with this? How do you handle Luka's success because you're in Sacramento?
Oh,
so
yes.
So for those who don't know, in that 2018 NBA draft, the Sacramento Kings jumped up in the draft lottery, moved up to number two. And there's so much talk. Are they going to draft Luka?
Yeah.
Luka's the guy. Oh, we hit it. Hopefully the Suns don't take him number one. Well, if he's at number two, you're taking him. And of course, there's that famous picture of Luka with Kings officials at mm-hmm. dinner before the draft process, during the draft process. So now all these years later, like, how do you handle that mentally, Morgan Reagan?
At first, it was hard. And then I enjoyed all of his immature years because it made me go, God, I'm so glad that that's not on the Kings. You know, when he was bitching a lot and it wasn't leading to postseason
success. It's also your way of trying to make yourself feel
100%.
Better.
100%. But like you have to find a way to cope and to get past it. But there were times it was triggering because we had a player on the Sacramento Kings and his name was DeMarcus Cousins. And when you watch that night in and night out, DeMarcus never changed. The thing about Luka is that not only has he talked about changing, not only has he reflected, you're seeing him actually put in the work and changing.
And he wins.
And on top of that, he wins. Yeah. And his game only keeps getting better. So yeah, now it's become this thing for me where I just take a step back. And as an NBA fan, I take a step back and I go, okay, respect. And I can play the what if game with so many things in life. And with this specific thing, I'm not going to do it. And I'm just going to respect basketball and the game that I get to watch, even if he's not in a Kings jersey.
Yeah, I feel like I've moved on from it too.
Yeah.
You know, I think anyone would be like, yeah, that was a big time blunder, a franchise altering mistake. I think we knew that relatively
Keep
early
going.
On.
Yeah.
But for me, at some point, it's just like, it is what it, there's nothing you can do about now. It is what it is. And you think about over the years, like, this is going to go down as like when Sam Bowie was drafted ahead of Michael Jordan. You don't think Blazers fans are going, God, Ooh. Wish we could have had Hakeem or Michael Jordan. You do have to move on at some point. And I love the game of basketball, so I'm going to enjoy great talent. Mm-hmm. And sure, it would have been nice in Sacramento. Absolutely. But if I were to get hung up on all the Kings' misses over the years, could have had Kawhi Leonard, could have had Dame Lillard, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
I mean, wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
There's so many names. That one definitely stands out.
Yeah.
Probably more than any. Well, but
here's why that one stands out, because some of those names end up being luck. Like you got,
that's fair.
You know what I mean? Where Luka was generational talent sitting right there for you to choose.
And it wasn't like he was like hidden. This is not like, hey, you missed out on Jokic because your scouts didn't take him the second round. I mean, we were all watching EuroLeague basketball at the time going, dude, oh my God, I can't believe this teenager's doing this in a EuroLeague.
And like, yeah.
And I, by the way, as we talk about it, I start to feel it a little bit.
I know. Well, because if I go back to that that night, I remember just being like trying to convince myself, like, okay, they know what they're doing. Then if this they know something that we don't know, no.
Yeah. So I have definitely moved on, and I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah.
And the Mavs, man, they've taken some calculated risks. You think about it. I mean, they traded for Kyrie and they got hammered for it. They missed the playoffs last year. And now they're headed to the NBA Finals. Like, it seems like it's worked to perfection. Those two vibe. Kyrie's locked in, playing amazing basketball. They've got the pieces surrounding them. And, I mean, they're going to have a chance here. If you're going to act like they don't have a chance against the Celtics, then you're sleeping on the Mavs again.
Yep.
When you've got Luka, who is, if he can finish off the Celtics, there's going to be a case he's been elevated to the best player in the league. I'm not a big fan of all those conversations because, let's be honest, it moves so often. The reality is he's one of the best players in the league. And then the guy next to him is looking like one of the best players in the league too.
Right. And I really hope we get some really good basketball out of these NBA finals, because these are two really good teams. One with more notable names than the other, but at the same time, you know,
who has more notable name? Are you talking about?
I would say, here's the only reason why I would say the Celtics with Tatum, Brown, and then Porzingis,
Holiday,
and Derek White. I was even just giving three, right? Like I was just going there where I feel like you go to a rookie in Derek Lively who's coming off the bench, and then you go to you think about the trade deadline for PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, you're not going, those are big names, but what is so beautiful is how they complement the stars.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that gets overlooked, and it's not about them being some of the best players in the league. It's them being some of the best role players in this league.
So game one in Boston comes next week, June 6th. Some of the storylines we're going to get, Kyrie taking on the Celtics.
Oh yeah.
Dude. That's going to be nasty.
I don't like it.
Then you got Porzingis against Dallas.
Yeah.
Everyone thought that Porzingis-Luka thing, they were going to take off and win championships. It didn't work like everyone thought it would have. Luka, Tatum going for their first rings.
Yeah.
Grant Williams sitting at home pissed because he was on Boston last year, and then he was on Dallas to start this season and ended up in Charlotte.
Well.
What do you think Grant Williams is thinking right now? Grant Williams going, I was in Boston competing and I side with Luka. Kyrie, let's go.
Grant Williams is a really good guy. So yeah. I'm sure he has a very positive attitude.
He's rooting for Boston though, right? Like no doubt he's rooting for Boston.
Aren't you kind of like screw Dallas? Yeah. Like they pay me and then they get rid of me. Like, no,
I can't wait for that series. Real fast to Minnesota.
Yeah.
To put a bow on them.
Oh yeah.
I think there's going to be so much talk after this about, man, like, you got to trade this guy. Gobert. I kind of think they'll make some subtle tweaks. And they're kind of stuck, too, just based on salary cap situation, right?
But it got them to the Western Conference Finals, you know? And I know that's not the end-all, be-all. And in some ways, I think some teams were more desperate than them to get to the final. But, like, yeah, people are going to be dramatic about it. But, Deuce, you already said it. There needs to be roster tweaks for even their offense.
And what does Anthony Edwards do this offseason from an endurance standpoint? From, I'm excited. Like, how does he work on his craft and his game to come back, to get to another level? Mm-hmm. We saw flashes and we saw people wanted to push him to another level. And now a little bit of a reality check, but the guy still went this far. Great year for Minnesota. Can we also acknowledge that for a second?
Great year.
And a couple of all-stars and all NBA talent. McDaniels.
Sixth man of the year.
McDaniels was all defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of good stuff for the Minnesota T-Wolves. Well, I can't wait. NBA Finals, June 6th. In the meantime, we will be producing content on our YouTube page. So check us out, youtube.com/@DeuceandMo. We love you guys, but we got to go.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.